The following is an audio-only version of a YouTube video. You can see the video and you can see the show notes by going to BulaNetwork.com and just snoop for Three Pillars of Successful Business Building. Hey, thanks for listening. Enjoy the show. I am a fan of business models. Well, not all business models, but kind of the business of business models. This is a book well worth reading, I think. Business Model U, a one-page method for reinventing your career. I bring this up, well, one, to recommend the book. Not that there's anything in it for me. It's just, and it's, by the way, it's one of those books, you know, some books are better. They're better in a physical form like this as opposed to a Kindle form. Now, I'm hearing great things about Tim Ferriss's latest book, 4-Hour Chef, which is really about learning. He's everywhere talking about high-speed learning, and it looks very interesting. It's 600 and some odd pages, so that's another one that looks like a good physical book. But in thinking about business plans and thinking about the kind of business that would be ideal for you, and while this may be very personal at some level, meaning the right business model for you may not be the right business model for that person and that person, there are three universal things that are very foundational, in my opinion, when it comes to building a good, sustainable, successful business. And these might not be in the order that you would think. Dan Kennedy, I remember reading, and I don't remember the exact quote, but the sentiment was more or less that, you know, the value of the business is in the marketing. When all is said and done, it's the marketing that is left. It may have been Andrew Carnegie, I'm not sure who it was, but it was someone of that ilk, who made a comment, take away my business, but leave me my organization, and I'll be back. So that leads us to believe that it's organization that is the most critical component. Well, truth be told, there are many elements that I think are necessary for business vitality, business success. I'm going to give you three, and I'm going to give them to you in the order that they're important to me, kind of in keeping with business model you. You may feel differently, and that's okay. You'll be wrong, of course, but here they are. And first, it begins with, I guess, what you might would consider to be philosophy, but it's deeper than that, and it's more powerful than that. And I would simply refer to it as commitment. Commitment. And in particular, commitment to customers. And let's pose it as a question. What is your commitment? What is the level of your commitment to customer happiness, not satisfaction, happiness? How far are you willing to go so that your customers will be dazzled? To what degree are you willing to work so that your customers will think, this is awesome? That's going to separate you from the pack, because there are a lot of folks out there who are perfectly willing for customers to be somewhat satisfied, totally uninterested in having any customer be dazzled. There are business owners galore who get up every day with the assumption, you know, some people just aren't going to be happy. It's just life. It's how it goes. Rare are the business owners who get up every day not willing to accept that outcome. Determined that today every customer is going to have a spectacular experience. How do I know that? Because I've spent the better part of 40 years worried about, obsessing about, managing, architecting customer experience. I was asked the other day about the one part of business building. You know, what's the one thing? If there was one thing, if you could just narrow down the one thing of your career, your business building, you know, what would the one thing be that might define your career? And I leapt to that. I made this leap to it's customer experience. It's positive customer experience. I think it belongs in the first slot, priority number one, because everything else comes from that, good and bad. If you are not committed fully to making sure that customers have a spectacularly positive experience with your company, with what you do, and with how you do it, nothing else really matters. Just doesn't matter. Welcome to the world of commodity. If that's how you want to roll, if you just want to be no different than anybody else. We used to joke amongst ourselves because back in the 80s, maybe back in the late 70s, somebody did a radio campaign in the market where I happened to be at the time. Talking, and it was Hi-Fi Shop. That's where my roots were. And, you know, it was, yeah, you know, we're no worse than anybody else. You know, they were poking fun at the competition that, you know, was talking about how their service was, you know, better than anybody else's. And they were kind of spinning that of, you know, hey, well, do you really want to buy hi-fi gear from a shop that, hey, we're as good as anybody? And then it was Tom Peters or somebody else that I heard, you know, talk about how the motto of some company, it really should be, we suck less. We suck, they suck, and they suck, but hey, we suck less. There are a lot of business owners who get up every day, not even half-heartedly committed to customer service. Just don't care. Fully bent on the fact, they believe, the fact that, yeah, you just can't make everybody happy. Hey, you know that phone call that you make, the customer service, because you've encountered a problem, and you know that indifference that you sense on the other end of the phone, and maybe the indifference that they just blatantly exhibit, you know that we don't really care. Sorry you're having trouble, but too bad. Yeah, that experience that we've all encountered, you know it didn't come from that person, don't you? You know it isn't because they hired somebody to feel that way. You know that, don't you? You know that came from up on high. Well, no, I don't mean heaven. I mean the corporate office. You know that the corporate leadership is indifferent to the way customers feel. And as a result, the people that they hire are trained and taught, doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how hard you work, customer, you just can't make everybody happy, so why try? You should try because it's perfectly achievable. That's why I think, well, no, I don't think, I know it's achievable. I know that customers can be made happy. I know that unhappy customers can be made happy. I know that unhappy customers can be the most terrific advocates for our business. Far, far more effective than those people who make a purchase. Everything goes swimmingly. Everything is wonderful. They're dazzled. But so, take care of a customer who has a problem. They'll love you forever. And they'll tell everyone they know. Shortchange a customer who has a problem. They too will tell everyone they know. And they will shout it from the mountaintops. And not only will you erode your customer base, but you will erode that dedication and that determination, and you'll rip the heart out of the people who work for you, and you'll rip your own heart out because you just don't have the commitment that you should have to serve and help other people. And it will destroy the very fabric and the foundation of whatever it is you do and whatever it is you've built or are trying to build, promise you. So commitment to customer happiness is first and foremost. And without it, well, just click stop and don't even bother listening. Because if you don't have that, you got nothing. The second thing I would talk about would be, we'll just call it the machine. The machine is the automation. The machine is the systems. The machine is the processes. The machine is the procedures that we have in place. The machine answers the question, what is it you do and how do you do it? What do you do and how do you do it? Well, we sell tires. We change tires. We balance and rotate tires. We're in a tire business. Okay, well, how are you in the tire business? Lots of tire companies around. You can go to Sam's and you can buy tires. Around here, you can go to Discount Tire and buy tires. You can go to National Tire and Battery and buy tires. I buy tires at Discount Tires because they just do things differently. You can buy the same tire there that you could probably buy at a Sam's, at a Costco, at a National Tire. I've never bought tires from National Tire and Battery. Don't really want to because I kind of like Discount Tire. I've been a customer of Discount Tire for, 12 years plus. Oh, I bought tires at Sam's before. Yep, been there, done that. I'm not likely to leave Discount Tire because Discount Tire, they just do things differently. All are in the tire business. So that's what they do. But it's that how they do it that's different, and it's that how they do it that makes a difference for me as a tire buying person when I'm buying tire. What do you do and how do you do it? Around here in North Central Texas, you'll hear radio spots galore for foundation repair, unstable soil, all that rigmarole. And there'll be a variety of companies, and they will advertise a variety of different kinds. Now, they're all in the foundation repair business. That's what they do. Okay, well, how do they do it? Well, one company may advertise that they use a certain technology. Another company will advertise that they use a different superior technology. Another may say that they use a multiplicity of technologies. And still others will say, our company was founded by graduates of this particular Texas university. And another may say, our company was founded by graduates of this other Texas university. It's just different marketing messages, but it's a different how. It's not only the difference in who they are and what they do, they all do, but they don't do it quite the same, and they're not all the same people, the same personality, so they're injecting a little bit of, that alumni loyalty, I guess. But that's what the machine is. The machine is the what do you do, and how do you do it? Now, here's the power of it. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I've been in a Starbucks or two and had some meetings at a Starbucks or two. And so I get it. I understand it. Those people that I know that are loyal to Starbucks, and there are plenty of them, I dare say you go into a Starbucks and you're buying coffee. You probably are in love with a particular drink. Okay. When you go in tomorrow morning, are you going to expect that the quality and the taste and the temperature and all of it, are you going to expect it to be like it was the countless times before? Are you going to expect them to throw a new wrinkle at you? And you're going to take a sip and go, that's not right. No, you're going to go in with the expectation that you're going to get what you have previously received. That is, they are going to be able to replicate a quality that you're happy with. It's that replication of quality that is the output of the machine. It's the reason that we travel, and if we're traveling on some highway we've never been on before, and there's Fred's Hamburgers, but across the street there are the Golden Arches. Fred's Hamburger may be far superior to the Golden Arches, but we don't know. We know what we're going to get at the Golden Arches because it's the same everywhere. I have been to the Golden Arches in London, England, and it's, other than the soda, it's very much the same. I might as well be in Dallas, Texas. Yeah, it's that ability to replicate. Okay, it's not world class, but you know what you're going to get. The quality is managed. That's what the machine does for you. The machine enables you to run a business so that your business is not run by exceptions. Yeah, we all know what that feels like. Every day we get up and it's just this, you know, there's a curveball. Around every email, around every phone call is a curveball, the exception. And our businesses get run by exceptions. I have entered many businesses that was their life. Their life was they were living their entire life by the exception. Why? There was no machine in place. Now, it started with maybe there wasn't a commitment to have quality output so that everybody was happy. But if there was that, there also had to be the incorporation of the machine. There had to be some predictable output so that you knew that customer and this customer and this other customer and this other customer, they all are happy. The only way that you can go to Starbucks tomorrow morning and be happy with the drink that you ordered today and the one you ordered yesterday is if you get the same thing. Exactly the way that you want it, exactly the way you expect it. When they stop doing that, you'll find some other place to go. It's just that simple. I go to Discount Tire. I know who they are. I know what they are. I know how they work. I like the experience. Their prices are competitive. I can check online and see. I'm good. They're convenient. They're down the street. I'm good. No reason to change. Because they've got a machine in place, they've got a commitment to service, number one, and they've got a machine in place, I know what to expect. I know what I'm going to get, and I've done business with them enough, I know they can meet my expectation. The machine's in place. And I'm confident enough, I trust them enough in their commitment to customer service and in their machine that if something were to happen, and it has, I've had a defective tire. I had a tire that went bad. And guess what happened? Replaced it. On the spot. With no big to-do. There you go. How did they pull that off? They pulled that off because the machine was in place to provide predictable results, but the machine was also in place if there is an exception. Do you suppose that I was the first person that ever showed up with a defective tire? No. Do you suppose that they have something in place, some policy, ooh, we hate that word, some system, some process, some procedure, so that when a customer does encounter a problem, here's what we do? Yeah, you bet. oh, well, that's awful. That's a heartless way to run a company, isn't it? You know, we've just got scads of manuals of all these things. No, these are scenarios. These are real world scenarios. What are we going to do when these scenarios hit us? Well, we'll just wait until it happens, and then we'll just, you know, we like to shoot from the hip. We like, well, you know, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants. I can't tell you how many business owners have told me that through the years. As though that's a badge of courage. Well, you might as well just put a dunce cap on and go sit in the corner, because you're an idiot. You're an idiot if you don't pre-think what you want the customer to experience. I don't understand businesses. I don't understand business owners who dread the phone ringing or who dread email. I don't get it. Oh, it's always going to be, they're always griping and moaning and whining. I don't understand that. Fix it. Fix it. Your machine is broken. If that is the outcome that customers typically get from you, number one, fall on your knees right now. Fall on your knees right now and be thankful that your business is still alive. Now, it may be on life support, but fall on your knees right now and give thanks that you still have a business, if that's you. Then get up and fix it. Oh, well, it can't be fixed. People, they're just not going to be happy. Okay, well then just your business needs to die. Sooner the better. Your competitors need to win. You don't need to win. You don't deserve to win. However, if you're committed to customer service and you just have, for whatever reason, have not built the machine to provide predictable output, get busy. Think it through. Document it. Get the systems in place. They don't have to be locked and loaded. You can tweak them. You can morph them. You can adapt them. If you aren't talking to your people, if you're not talking to your customers, if you're not working on the machine, what are you doing? What is your business? Your business is the machine. Your business is to do what you do, how you do it, and to do it well, so that you get positive customer experience. Third thing, many of you are going to think, well, this is first. Marketing. We've got to get customers. Now, let's table for the moment the lean startup. I'm fond of that model. Super, super fond of that model. Well, let's invest all this money. Let's get all these resources together and let's, you know, let's spend a year working and developing this thing, and then let's go out and try to sell it. No, let's see, does anybody want it? Makes perfect sense, and we are all wise to do that. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about ongoing businesses. I'm talking about established businesses. So I'm not talking about, well, we're going to test the market. That's perfectly fine and well, and you should do that. No, I'm talking about the company that is going. Now, maybe it's not going so well, but you have a business. You need to grow your business. Pull back. Take a hard, hard look at your commitment to customer happiness. On a scale of 1 to 10, is it a 10? Is it higher than 10? It needs to be as high as you can get it. And if it's not a 10, work on it. You might as well not work on anything else until you get this right. You have got to get that right, because everything else you do is going to flow from that. It's going to affect everything that you do. Well, I want to go, I'm committed to it. Don't all have the systems in place, but now I'm going to leapfrog over to marketing. Well, let's stop and think about this. Customers are being hacked off regularly. I'm dreading the phone ringing. I'm dreading emails. But the answer for my business is more customers. Why? Because I need the money. Okay. Understood. Here's the problem. The more customers that come into the funnel, the more people I'm hacking off. How's that going to work for you long term? I really focus heavily and always have on customer base. You don't hear it that much anymore, but in you know, old school stuff, the customer base is exactly what it sounds like. It's the foundation upon which you can build your business. You've got to have a customer base. Discount Tire needs people like me. We're customers. We're longstanding customers. I've just told you about it. I've just given them a great testimonial. They'll never know it, maybe. But I've just given them a testimony. I've just done a commercial for Discount Tire, and I've not been compensated in any way, shape, or form. I'm in their database. That's the extent of knowledge they have about me. Is that powerful? I don't know. How many of you are going to go to Discount Tire? How many of you are going to think about Discount Tire the next time you need tire? Some of you will. What's that worth? Well, it's priceless. It's just priceless. It's that powerful word of mouth that we so desperately need. And we believe that we'll just get it without working for it. We believe it'll just come our way without earning it. No. Discount Tire earned it. I paid for it. But I got a good experience, and so it was worth it. I feel confident enough to tell you that if you go to Discount Tire, you're going to get a good experience. I will be surprised if any of you email me or call me or Skype me or whatever it is, get in touch with me somehow and tell me I went to Discount Tire because you said they were good and man, they suck. I'll be surprised. Could it happen? Well, sure. It could happen. As we often say, a blind pig can find one every now and then. So sure, there are exceptions. Marketing, when you don't have the other things in place, just can accelerate your death. More unhappy people fosters more unhappy people. Yes, we need customers. Yes, we need people to pay us so that we can earn a living. We need to earn it. We need to earn what we're worth. We need to be worth something. And we need to earn what we're worth. But first comes the value. We've got to bring value. So the marketing, I think, is infinitely important. But I'm really, really, really focused primarily on word of mouth because it's just so strong and it's so powerful and it's within the reach of all of us to manage that. Yes, marketing can overcome a litany of woes if you have deep pockets. There are multinational companies that are rich beyond our wildest imaginations, and they can buy their way out of a variety of different problems. They can throw money at something. But even that is really, really tough. It's really tough to stem the tide or to turn the massive battleship that is our business if we're a huge company. It's really difficult to throw enough money at it to change it. But it can be done. Not for you and I. We can't do it. Our businesses are too small. We don't have enough margin. We don't have a big enough war chest to go out there and overcome all the bad stuff we do to our customers by preaching a lie. And lies get preached all the time. There's a lot of false doctrine out there in the business world. You know, because everybody says, well, you know, our customer service is superior. Our prices are lower. I mean, all you got to do, just turn on the TV and watch the car dealers, right? Okay, bait and switch is not legal, but it happens. Come on, you know, that car that's got the price, you know, DVR it and hit pause and then get real close to the screen and squint and you'll see, you know, they've got one available. It's way, 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 way at the back of the lot. Come on, we all get it. We all know it. But come on, the lemmings, yes, they are lured by the clever marketing. Well, okay, clever marketing, we can sell once. So here's the difference. Are you going to be transaction oriented, or are you going to be lifetime value of a customer oriented? You can be one or the other. There are a few people, I guess, you know, I'm thinking of some grocery stores, you know, where the margins are crazy thin. They can be kind of both, you know, transaction, but you go there and you go there because it's convenient. They've got the brands that you want. It's clean. It's well lit. It's whatever. Got great music. Smells nice. You know, whatever it is that floats your boat. So you can be transaction oriented and be lifetime value of a customer oriented, but man, most of us kind of need to pick one, and many people pick the wrong one. I happen to be of the persuasion that it's just almost always wrong to pick transaction. I'm just about the sale. I just need to get your money today. I don't care how you feel about me. Just give me your money and let me give you my stuff. Give me your money and let me do this service for you. And we'll let bygones be bygones after that. And I'll go now and chase the next transaction. And then that's a hard way to live. Lifetime value of a customer, on the other hand, that approach to marketing is, I want to do such a spectacular job that you'll tell everybody you know that you will, in essence, become a salesperson for me. Unsolicited, much like I just did for Discount Tire. And I think that's what we want. I think these are the three pillars of a business model that you really should give strong consideration to. And if anywhere on the spectrum you've not done the job that you feel like you should do, that now you feel like you must do, get busy. We just need to get busy. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. And yes, this is the Yellow Studio.